are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
Anyway, an opportunity. We're not in a series right now, so got an opportunity. Josh said I could just share what's on my heart. And what's on my heart, what's in my life, what affects me the most every day, every week, and I believe it affects my family the most, and it affects some of you because we do this life together. But what affects me the most and the biggest impact in my life is prayer, communicating with God. So that's what I want to talk about today and to share with you guys as we go through this this life and this crazy world we live in. So Sundays are the highlight of my week. Getting to come here on Sunday, be with you guys, see you all. I start out by getting in the lobby and seeing you on the way in and try to greet you, try to remember everybody's names if I don't see it too often. I know that certain life challenges and things are going through. You guys share them with me and we pray in the lobby or whatever, and we get to share life together and reconnect every Sunday. We get to, in first service, the prayer team, we go into a room over here on the side and we intercede and we pray for both services, for the congregation, for the pastor that's leading and interceding for the staff, for the ministries that are going on. We get to do that in the morning during first service. And then after each service, I come up front here and we make ourselves available, the prayer team and some of the staff and I, to be here for you, to just to walk through life with you, to pray with you. And to sometimes you guys come and pray for us, and that's just such a blessing and so cool. But getting to have the boldness to come up and ask for prayer and let us walk through that with you and lead you through some directive prayer and just whatever you're struggling with, guidance, leadership, whatever we can do for you at all. I've even prayed for goldfish, for girls that lost a goldfish. You know, it's just a great lesson that we get at times to be able to see that, for a parent to show a kid that when they're hurting and when they're sad, go to Jesus and let him, ask him to heal your heart. And I'm not Jesus, obviously, but we walk him through that as parents and grandparents. So just thank you for giving us those opportunities. Let's just start by reading a little bit of scripture here. I added this. I don't think there's notes for it. It's James 1:5. And as I was going through, this stood out to me. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So it's just an encouragement that it's just right out of Scripture that we're to pray and communicate with God Almighty, which is just talking to him, and it's listening to him as well. Prayer is two-way communication, right? And it can be a huge life-changing impact in our lives as we hear from God. And as we communicate and we pray, we can pray to God Almighty, we can pray to Jesus, and we can pray to the Holy Spirit, and we can listen to them as well. So communicating, talking, and listening. So we want to hear from God. I know that it seems to affect my life more when I hear from him than when I tell him what I want to do, where I'm going to go, or what I'm missing out on, or how hurt my feelings are, or what I plan to do. So I'd rather hear from him and have him lead me. So we'll walk through a couple prayers here at the end today. Let's have some fun and look at some prayer and communicating with God a little bit differently today. Hopefully we can wrap our heads around this pretty good and break it down. So to get started, I have a question for you, okay? How life-changing do you think it would be if every one of us were great communicators with God, the God Almighty, that we were great communicators with him? I think it would, I think things would look a little different. I think it would look like we were able to ask the right questions, make the right requests. We'd be able to hear him clearly, and we'd be able to hear his answers and what he wanted us to know and what he wanted us to do. And I feel like a lot of us don't fully get this or take this seriously and live it out. And the reason I say this is because I think if we did, I think this, our lives would look a lot different. And I think this world would look a lot different if this was just all the way across, if all of us Christians believed and really exercised this gift that he's given us of communication with him. And we'll get into that. I think it could also look like Moses' relationship with God. He had pretty clear communication. you know, but I think it's something to strive for. King David was another one. I think Elijah and Elisha and other prophets, they were so connected with God, had such a relationship with him that they were able to share that with others. They later lead nations, and kings came to them for wisdom and guidance from God Almighty. And sometimes they didn't follow it, didn't do it, didn't believe them, what they were telling them, and there were consequences for it. I think others, there's also the relationship like Mary Magdalene, right, where she was possessed and oppressed, but she surrendered to God. He delivered her. She turned from her ways and followed him. And we can have that relationship as well, too. And I think it's, let's do this prayer and communication. I'd like to break this down to its roots a little bit more to see if we can get a good grasp on this, being great communicators with God Almighty. We believe that he created us, right? That God created us. We believe that. So think about it this way. If God created us, don't you think he knows how to communicate to us? Right? He would know how to do that. And he would also have created us in a way that we would have the ability to receive and to hear him. Right? And then we would also, if he created us, be able to speak back to him. We would know how to do that. Right? He created us with this ability. And then obviously he would be able to hear us. He would be able to receive and hear us. Right? So if that's the case, I believe there's a little bit of proof in this. That this is how it goes, because it's kind of exactly what we do with our kids, isn't it? We create them with his help, of course, and then we start to try to communicate with them. Who here has tried to talk to an infant or a baby? I hope all of us. Isn't it fun? They don't talk back, but we make words for them. They cry, but isn't even crying's a form of communication, right? And as you know, so my daughter knows, both my daughters know that their form of communication, the first words that they're to teach their kids is Papa. It's not Mommy, Daddy, it's Papa. They know that. And I had some video, I had proof, and we just couldn't find the right one, couldn't get it here, and it just, I had a video for you of last time I talked about Adrian, who was 3 days old, that Tyler and Emily had fostered, got him, rescued him from the hospital. He's 11 months now, and he says, Papa, and it's just the cutest thing. Here's my wallet, here's my keys, and he just, Papa, Papa. I'll give him anything, give him hugs, sit and hold him, give him a bottle. And they've all been that way, 9 of them, and he's the 9th. And it's so powerful. All they got to do is say, Papa, and give anything they want. But we do this with our kids, where we try to communicate with them, and maybe some of you have done this. I know my daughters did this too, where to prove that we can understand things before we can even use words and speak. Because they taught these kids, I've seen these kids, have you seen this, where they know sign language? Like, what's this? It's more, right? All done. What's this? Is all done? Oh, all done. Oh, yeah. And then this one, I think, is another one that they do. Anyway, cracks me up. It's amazing. They're little itty-bitty, and they can't even talk, but they can sit there and sign. It is so cool, and I just think it's obviously in our nature. It's in our culture. God created us this way, and this shows that we understand before we even can speak words, right? So this must be part of our human nature. There's a little more proof here, I think, because didn't God send signs, a flood, prophets, before he ever sent his word? That's a whole other message I'd love to do someday. And for you guys to dig into deeper, look into that, could be fun. We try to communicate with our kids as soon as possible, and God tries to communicate with us as soon as possible too. And even, yes, he tries to communicate with us even before we're saved. I think we all have testimonies of that. Think about this for a minute and see if this also lines up with God and his purpose for us. A serious question here for you again, another question. Why do we want to communicate with our kids? Why do we try to communicate with them? To help them, right? Right? It's so that we can help them. They're helpless on their own. Imagine the trials an infant would have if it didn't have any help. Don't we just want to know why they're crying? Don't we want to know why they're hurting? We just want to know what they want or what they like. And I think this is the same for God Almighty. He wants to teach us that He created us unique and wonderful. He gave us our choice, our free will, without violating our free will. He wants to help us. So if God wants to help us, doesn't He just want to know why we're crying? Doesn't God want to know why we're hurting? You can ask Him for help for anything. Anything. God wants to tell Him what we want and what we like. God wants to know what we want to be when we grow up. Some of us haven't grown up yet. He gave us free will so that we could choose these things, right? So tell Him what you choose, what you like. Talk to Him. Ask Him what to choose. Even better yet, give your choice that He gave you to choose back to Him. Try that on something. Try giving God your choice. Ask God, Lord, what would you choose for me? If you've got a job in Nebraska and one in St. Louis or something, or whatever it is, just ask Him, Lord God, I just surrender my choice back to You. I'm going to lay this at Your feet. I'm going to give this back to You. You choose for me, Lord God. You choose where to go. I don't know. There's so many details, and we get so stressed out and worked up and spun up about all these details of what to choose, and it could be where to go to lunch. It could be anything. But give your choice back to Him. Try that. I did that once. My gosh, that was amazing. The peace and the ease when you just lay it at His feet, just walk away and go, Lord God, You're just going to have to line out these circumstances and let it happen because I don't really know what's going on. Could go on telling stories about that kind of life, but just try that and I think you'll be blessed by it. That'll rock your world when you just surrender to God and let Him decide for you and see what He does to guide you where He wants you. And then when you get there, you know you're in His perfect free will because He aligned it, He created it, He made that path. And you just followed Him. And then we get in this pattern and this habit of following Him and surrendering our choice to Him and just on and on. It's a whole other message. But we call all this prayer. Communication with God. Prayer is talking and communicating with God. It's also Him talking to us. Him teaching us words. Him teaching us things about His world. Teaching us about Himself. He uses songs. He uses scripture. And He uses our prayers, our visions, memories, imaginations. Prayer is worship. Prayer is adoration to our King, the Creator, and the Sustainer of this world, this universe, and of our own selves, our own bodies. It's also talking with God, talking with Jesus, and talking with the Holy Spirit. And it's listening to God, listening to Jesus, and listening to the Holy Spirit. I've seen and believe that prayer is even more power and impact when I say it out loud. And we can find this in scripture and stuff as well if we speak it out loud. And part of it is so that the devil and his little minions can hear it. They don't like hearing adoration towards God, Jesus. They don't like hearing us surrender. They're going to leave. It's good. Get out of here. They just don't like hearing it, and I'm okay with that. I also feel that when I get down on my knees, when I pray, bow my head. I think I do this in reverence to our King and our Majesty. It puts my heart in a posture of reverence and humility. And I think the Lord is pleased with it, even though it's not required. I'm not doing it to earn anything. I'm just doing it out of submission and love back to Him. And if we really believe this in all the scripture on prayer, and we see what prayer is at its roots, and we see what we've learned, as we practice being great communicators with God, then prayer would have a larger priority. It will have a larger priority in our lives. It'll have a larger impact. We won't struggle so much with sin, same sin in our lives every day. We won't wonder what to do, at least not for as long. And with all these life-changing decisions, we would hear God guiding us through these relationships, through these decisions. These even more physical healings, spiritual deliverances, life-changing experiences when this communication with God draws us closer to Him and we strive to be more like Him. But don't misunderstand. I'm not saying if you're not healed, it's because you don't have faith. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about communicating with Him. So we're talking about being able to have clear communication with Him. And the more we do that, we strive and we're closer with Him and we can follow Him. And so to be more clear about what it says about prayer, what the Word says, and what God says, this is Jesus' words. So we're going to go back. We're going to read Matthew 6, 5 through 15. So we're going to start a little before the prayer and a little after, and we're going to cover some more of this. I think we have this on the screen for you. So if you would, I'm going to read this. So verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is in secret, will reward you." And this is why our prayer team meets in a room on the side over here. And as we intercede for you guys and ourselves and for the pastor and the ministries and the staff and all this, it just blesses our hearts to be able to do that. Verse 7, as we move on here, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask." Much like a mother for an infant. "This then is how you should pray. And if you're not sure quite how to pray or where to start, and you don't feel like you're that versed in it, just go here. Just go here to Matthew 5 and let's read this. You can do this every day. I would encourage you, and some people do. And you can all say this with me if you'd like, because we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen." Amen. That's awesome. So these next two verses are so important to remember. And there's a reason why they follow this prayer. And I'll let some of you ask the Lord why He feels that way for you and what you get out of it. But I think it's to point out that unforgiveness in our hearts is affecting our prayers, if we have any left. Verse 14, "For if you forgive other people," this is right after that prayer, "if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, then the Father will not forgive your sins." I think some of us need to be reminded of this every day. and I might be one of them. Hopefully we're not living with sin in our hearts. The next couple verses here are going to talk a bit about fasting, which is so oftenly done in a season of intentional and focused prayer. And we'll go through this. So it talks here, verse 16, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly." It's just interesting here that they must not have had combs and blow dryers back then. They used oil for their hair, but we have combs, so... good thing we have combs. You know, God made a lot of beautiful heads, and the rest He put hair on. So fasting is kind of like steroids for your prayers. As I don't know how else to explain it. That's just the way I want to explain it. The time you would spend fixing the meal, eating the meal, preparing 2-3 times a day, that time you would spend, that additional time you would spend in prayer. And when you feel those hunger pains throughout the day or days, as you go through this, you'll notice it'll just remind you, oh yeah, I'm praying about this. I'm lifting this subject. I'm struggling with this. My wife and I are trying to align in this and see where we land. Anything that you have going on in your life. And we don't fast to earn God's favor. We don't deserve the answered prayer because we fasted. That's not what it's about. It's just about having a more intentional, more focused time and reminding us to pray throughout each day as we do this. So I would dare you to pick a topic, pick something you're struggling with, something you're not sure of, you and the wife, or if you want to pray for your wife. And pick a theme and just drink water for 24 hours. And if that's a little overwhelming, start with 12 hours. Just do a 12-hour day, 6 in the morning till 6 at night. And just drink water and see what happens. You're going to lift God up all day long. And he's going to show up. He's so faithful and true. It's going to change your heart. It'll be life-changing. You'll probably find yourself doing it a little more often. There's another way that you can magnify or emphasize your prayers that really seems to bless God that we can do. And some call it extravagant prayer. I consider extravagant prayer whenever we were praying all night long. Has anyone here ever prayed all night long? Yeah. It's not very common in our culture and in the Northwest up here, but in Africa, it's very common. In parts of Africa and those ministries down there. And we tend to see it more common in these highly persecuted countries and nations and cities. And as people go through things and are stretched and pushed forward into something that they really, really are seeking God on. Another form of extravagant prayer could just be when we pray for an hour a day for like 30 days, and especially when it's in the middle of the night. Even 1 week of praying 1 hour a day for intentional on one topic, one focus, and specific ministry, specific problem in your life, asking God, what do you want me to know and what do you want me to do in this situation for 1 hour a day until we get the answer is a huge life-changing experience. I have an example of this is I got this summer in August invited to a Jamie Winship conference down in Salt Lake City by our buddy Derek Murphy. And he put this on, and then I said, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to make it. And so I get this email, and it's a prayer request email. So they have these things listed to pray for. They give us the itinerary each day of each section and ask us to pray for the people that are volunteering to put this thing on. A lot of prep work went on to about 800 people there. And they also asked us to pray for, obviously, the hearts and the souls and the minds and the people that are speaking and all this. So gave us things to pray about. And so I get this calendar, and it's a week calendar. And I see some names down here, and I'm like, okay. There's a guy that he put his name down from 1 to 2 in the morning, and another one from 2 to 3, and another one at 5 and 6, and these times, and then throughout the day. And I'm looking at it going, wow. Like all the good times are taken and some of the bad ones, scary ones. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right. And then I noticed too, their names were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I scrolled to the next week, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, every day for the week. I went to the next week, the third week, every day. The next week, 4 weeks, these people were going to pray from 2 to 3 in the morning every single day. And all these different times. So I go back to the open slots and I got to pick one. I want to pick one. I want to be part of this. And I see this first one from midnight to 1. It's open. I'm like, no, Lord. No, no. La, 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 la. Not hear you. And then I hear him say, thought you wanted to be a leader. Whew. He's had me leading since about 86. I joined the Navy. But I had me lead my family. I got married before that, so even earlier. But I was like, all right, God, I'll accept this challenge. And I put my name from midnight to 1 in the morning. And then I hit the repeat button every single day for 30 days. Wow, I got a lot going on. This is going to be tough. So I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock, set the alarm for midnight, if you can count. 10, 11, 12, 3 hours sleep. Get up. Got up, went to the living room, turned the lights on so I could stay awake, and prayed. It was actually pretty easy to go through this and go through these prayers and this stuff. So I found that was pretty easy. No problem there for me. I like to talk to God, listened a little bit. And then I went to bed. 1 o'clock. Wide awake. It took me an hour to calm down, wind down. But the next day, I kept the lights off, just turned bathroom light on for some ambient light, and was able to, a little bit better, got back to sleep pretty quick, 10, 15 minutes, did that for 30 days. And man, it was really life-changing. And I just found that it helped me with my attitude and my perspective of life throughout the day, knowing that I just spent that time with him, and I don't know, made a big impact. Then I get to the conference, and I get put on the prayer team there, asked to do that with them. We got to pray with some people, identity prayers, and giving up sin in their lives. And we had an altar call, like 70, 80 people getting saved. And then at the end, they did this sending out prayer. So anybody that was being called into a ministry, into a life group, to lead a life group, was what they were pulling people in for, and anything people felt led to. But it was a sending out prayer. And because I was on the prayer team, I'd gotten the text. They wanted us to pray. So I jumped up to go pray. And Jamie Winship sees me get up, and he grabs me and says, "Hey, I'm going to come pray with you. I'm going to pray for you." I was like, wow. So I went up to prayer, and a bunch of people there, and I felt all these hands on me. And there was 30, 40 of us up front. I was like, I went there to give. I went there, and I've been praying for people for a month, and then I get prayed on. And it's not just Jamie. It was all that were there. And Derek and all. But all my story there is you can't outgive God. You give God your time, your service, your prayers, and he's going to bless your socks off. And he knows what's going on here. So we're going to read here in Daniel 10. And what it says here, it says, "The angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayers. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way.'" So we can be assured that spiritual warfare is real, and even for us here today. The enemy's not dead. Even Scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And we know that they usually seek the weak. Ephesians 6:12 here says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand," and then it starts talking you into how to put on each piece of armor, the armor of God. So it's Ephesians 6 would be another place to go and read every day and get your prayer life going. Ephesians 6, the armor of God. This is definitely why we want to be great communicators with God Almighty. Amen. Let's look at a couple of my other favorite kinds of prayers. There's a listening prayer and a directive prayer. Listening prayer is actually a thing, and it's an extremely overlooked way to bring direction and peace into your life, and it's free. Just ask God what to do, what you want me to know, what you want me to do. Ask about a specific topic, and then shut up and listen. It's called listening prayer. I struggle with this one. God doesn't answer the why question, right? Too many reasons to explain why he needs you to do something. Even our commanding officers, military, or even our bosses today, they may tell us to do something, they may tell us what to do and how to do it, but they're not going to tell us why. So we can get over that one. For some of us, shutting up and quieting in our minds is very difficult. But just sit and listen for his still small voice. Any idea can pop into your head, a name, a face, a vision, a dream, a place or a statement, a solution of some kind will usually appear when we do this. Just write it down. and go back to it and pray over it if it doesn't seem to make sense right away. Now, there are a couple possible reasons if you're not hearing from God. If you don't hear Him speaking back to you, it's usually because there's some sin in our lives creating a static. We can't hear Him. The static's between us and God. God's always speaking. He's always talking to us. But are we really hearing Him? We need to hear Him so that we can obey Him and follow Him. We need to know where that He is leading us. And if we have unforgiveness, bitterness, lust, anger, fear, all these sins can quench our ears from being able to hear His Spirit trying to communicate with us so that we can follow Him in His will. So if that may be the case, I'll show you guys a way to find this out. This is what I do. And be delivered from it now. Be delivered with directive prayer. So please bow your heads with me now. What are we here for today if we're not to be touched by God? So let's do this. I'm going to pray a deliverance prayer asking God to show us any sin in our lives, any unforgiveness, bitterness, fear, lust, etc. Just pray, Lord God, that You would quiet the room, that Your Spirit would fill this room right now, Lord, that You would speak to my brothers and sisters, that they would hear You well, Lord God. As we ask You, Jesus, where is there sin in my life? Where is there sin in our lives? What do I put as a higher priority above You in my life? Lord Jesus, is there any fear in my life? Is there any anger, bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness in my heart? Any lust or addictions in my life? Lord Jesus, show them to us now. What are You hearing? You should write down what you hear on a piece of paper or just imagine it, ideally literally, but if you can't, then imagine your words. Just write them down in your mind. Just imagine writing them down on a note, on a piece of paper. Write down whatever the Lord is telling you in your mind. God, what sin is in my life hindering me from hearing You? And now with our eyes bowed and our heads bowed and our eyes closed, imagine that Jesus is sitting right in front of you. You're looking eye to eye with Jesus right now. You see His face with love, His face with joy, the peace over Him, the patience, the goodness. You see His kindness and His gentleness all over Him. Now give Him that list. Give that sin to Him. Hand it to Him and let it go. And watch what He does with it. Thank You, Jesus. Take these from us. Deliver us from these sins, these addictions, this unforgiveness that we hold against these people. And by the blood of Jesus and the power of You, Jesus, You're our Christ and our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Amen. What did He do with your list? He didn't read it. He probably it burst into flames, threw it away. Maybe He put it in the hole in His side. You can walk through this prayer like this for the rest of your life anytime. Anytime that you're feeling hindered or distant from God in any way, just do this prayer. What did Jesus do? Do what we just did and see God. So what did we learn today? All right, hopefully we learned how to be great communicators with God, or at least better communicators with God. And if not, or if you're confused or I lost you on something, please come talk to me or one of the prayer team or some of the staff here. We'd love to walk through this with you a little. And why do we need to know how to be great communicators? We need to know how to better pray and communicate to better follow God's leading in our lives so that we can be used to lead those around us and to make an impact in his kingdom, right? To love God and love others, just as Jesus said, those are the two greatest commandments. So let's be ready to do that. What do we need to do to achieve great communicate to achieve being a great communicator? Well, to achieve to be a great communicator, we need to practice more. We need to practice praying longer. We need to practice patience. We need to practice fasting, focusing on others, giving God the praise and worship and adoration that he deserves for creating this universe, creating you, creating your family, and all those around you that he's blessed you with. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. And why do we need to practice more? And practice so that we can live with no fear, to live with clear direction, and to be the best sons and daughters of God Almighty that we can possibly be, so that God can use us, again, love others and love him for all of eternity. And very last verse here, Luke 18:1 says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. So let's go to prayer before we go to communion. Thank God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God, for showing up today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son on the cross. Thank you for all that you've done and you've given us. Thank you, God. We look forward to all that you're going to do in our lives now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so let's take these. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is my cup. In this new covenant of in my blood, do this. Whenever you drink of this cup, remember me. For when you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's partake. Thank you all for a blessed day.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.